You're going to understand more what's in your envelope after Pastor Ron preaches. But I'd like you to just pull the little card out and read the message on the card. And this card is from us. Thank you. From Philippians 1 and 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now I want you to just ponder that for a moment. Pastor Ron and I thank God for each one of you here at Bethel. And if you're visiting today and you're not part of Bethel, but that's okay, we thank God for each one of you. Now I want you to tuck that little card back in the envelope and hold it till the end of the service. Okay? And you'll get further instructions then.
Thank you, Jesus. I met Pastor Paul Ayo years ago. I haven't seen him in absolute years, and I know you will enjoy his ministry tonight. We wanted to keep our intercessory prayer, and at the same time, we knew that Brother Paul has a message from God, and it's good to hear what God is doing through him. I really wasn't sure of what to title my message this morning, because part of me, we want to learn what it is to honor God. To honor God. Yet on the other hand, initially when I was doing up this message, my title was Honoring Misfits. Does that sound odd to you? Well, it did at first, until I began to see the work of God in every one of our lives. And we'll be able to explain that as we go. Thank you, Father, for your word. Your word's forever settled in heaven. No, God, we need to be challenged with your word today. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, I don't think I said this publicly yet, but I sure appreciate Terry and Rosalind for the decorating again this October for Thanksgiving. Absolutely beautiful. She's getting all ready. She's pumped to do Christmas. Now, I don't know why she'd want to rush that, because, you know, snow will fly soon enough. I get that. But this has been absolutely beautiful. She brings in these props, and it's awesome. I wonder, what does it mean to honor God, first of all? Can you imagine with me in Revelation chapter 4, it describes a scene in heaven. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne. And they lay their crown before the throne, and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Wow. Glory, honor, and power. He's worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. You know, the word translated glory and honor are very closely related and often used interchangeably in the Bible. But there is a subtle difference between them. The word most often translated glory means something that has inherent worth, while the word translated honor means perceived value to render or esteem glorious. Glory is a quality already within the one being glorified. Glory can be thought as a mirror that accurately reflects what is there. I look at myself in the mirror. I go, "Ooh, I need to style my hair." When we accurately reflect the character of God, we glorify Him. To glorify God is to honor Him for who He really is. God has glory because He is infinitely valuable. Human beings have glory because we are created in His image. The image of the One who is all glorious. We glorify God when we demonstrate through word and action His glorious character and His deeds. Modeling the character of Jesus is a way to glorify God. Because when we're living as we should before Him, we are showcasing His attributes. When we glorify God, we bring Him honor. Honor originates in our hearts. And it refers to the value we personally place on something or someone. Collectors hold certain items in higher esteem than non-collectors do. What others overlook may be highly valued by someone else and therefore honored. We honor other people to a degree that we consider their position and their contributions as significant. We are commanded to honor people because of their position, as an example. We are commanded to honor their position, not necessarily their performance. We honor other people to the degree that we consider that position and contribution significant. We are commanded, as an example, to honor our fathers and mothers. By the way, it's the only command with promise. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long on the earth. We are commanded to honor the elderly, according to Leviticus 19. We are commanded to honor those who rule over us, according to 1 Peter 2:17. When we honor God, we are demonstrating the high regard we have for Him, and we reflect His glory back as praise and worship. The Bible shows many ways to honor and glorify God. We show Him high regard and reflect His character by being sexually pure, by giving our incomes, according to Proverbs 3 and 9, and by living lives devoted to Him, according to Romans 4:14-8. It's not enough to merely honor Him outwardly. God desires honor that first comes from our hearts. Isaiah 29 says, "These people come near to me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips, but their," listen to this, "but their hearts are far from me." When we delight in the Lord, according to Psalm 37:4, we seek Him in everything we do, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 16:11. Isaiah and Isaiah 55 and 6. And we make choices that reflect the place He has in our hearts. What place does God have in your heart? Great question. Now, the psalmist David said in Psalm 69:30, "Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor Him with thanksgiving." Psalm 29:1, "Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings, honor the Lord for His glory and strength." Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, it says. For God bought you. Ha. Turn to your neighbor and say, you were purchased. Thank you, Jesus. You were purchased. You were bought. Thank you, Lord. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Psalm 23 says, He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And then we have a really interesting verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Love each other with genuine affection, and it says, take delight. Okay, they're really excited about that one. Take delight in honoring each other. That's big. How do we do that? Well, we can do that in various ways. You might just discover some. But sometimes we harbor feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness. We treat them as if we are, sometimes we treat people as if we're the only ones worthy. Yet God says, freely you've received, freely give. Well, what I discover that the Bible actually portrays the lives of people that are just like you and I. Some of them have warped personalities too. They have their flaws. Some have flaws that they have done to themselves that they bang their head. Some, they will try and paint themselves to make themselves more pretty. With eyeshadow, thanks. I don't do that. We try and do things to make ourselves look nice on the outside. But do you know that when you look at the people of the Bible, prominent people, that they also have dysfunction. They had all kinds of dysfunction in their lives. Great lives. But they actually were damaged people with serious family issues. Let me just go through a few to give you an idea of what I mean. We have Adam, the very first man. Do you know he was a great blame shifter? He just couldn't resist peer pressure, especially from his wife. Eve was the first woman who couldn't control her appetite, and she was probably the first one that had an eating disorder. Noah, the last righteous man on earth at that time, but he was one that got so drunk and he slept in the nude. We have Abraham, the forefather of faith. But he let other men walk off with his wife, not just once, but at least on two different occasions. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 20. Sarah, you have the most gorgeous woman by popular opinion, but she let her husband sleep with another woman and then hated her for it. Lot, he lost his father early in life, but had a serious problem in choosing the right company. He always chose the wrong company. Job was supposedly a contemporary of Abraham and the epitome of faith, but he suffered from a nagging, faithless wife. Isaac, who was nearly killed by his father, talked his wife into concealing their marriage. Rebecca was the first mail order bride. Turned out to be rather manipulative. A manipulative wife at that. Jacob was one who out-wrestled God, but he was pretty much a pathological deceiver. Well, I could go on. Moses was the humblest man on the face of the earth, but he had a very serious problem with anger. And he put away his first wife. Yet God used him greatly. You say, Pastor Ron, this is not very encouraging. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. I'll tell you how. You'll see. God is not bashful. He is absolutely honest in he as he depicts the human condition. God says, "For all have sinned and come short of his glory." There is none righteous, the word says. No, not one. That is the basis. You know, when we walk through these doors, we all come through the same footing. We all have to come to the cross the same way. We all needed a Savior. And many have accepted Christ as Savior. We all have to come the same pathway. We're all tempted to misrepresent ourselves. And there's pressure there to put a mask on so that there's no further damage. But the gospel invites us to come into and live in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, "But we, if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Okay, that's a good place to say praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our dysfunction. Listen to this and write it down if you need to. Our dysfunction does not equate with our right standing with God. Ooh-wee. Our dysfunction does not equate to our right standing with God. Most of the people that we've talked about, and I have a greater list, my list is longer, most of those talked about can be characterized as righteous. Or at least they're people of faith according to Hebrews chapter 11. But whether it be ourselves or those that are around us, it's not so much what our issues are. It's how we handle our issues. And even if our heart condemns us, the Bible says that God is greater than our heart. Paul spent his energy struggling against sin and left the task of judging himself with God. Let's be clear. Sin does have consequences. Pain and brokenness and loss, even death, follow our bad choices. But hopefully our distaste for sin is driven by our gratitude and the love of God. The other thing that I think we should notice, that we don't have to feel alone or be alone in our suffering. We've been given a cloud of witnesses that can be that can identify with how messy life can be. We can take heart because we can get through our challenges, and one day we're going to be relieved from the struggle. There is most certainly grace to be had in all of our lives. That's what the gospel is all about. You see. In the light of all the messiness in the lives of those in the Bible, let me ask you a question. Are you the kind of person that thanks God for the people in your life? And are you the kind of person that prays for them continually? We're all flawed. Sometimes there are some people that they're just good forgivers. They're just good forgivers. And there are other people that are not. And sometimes the way people look, how they smell, how, you know, it's interesting how we keep people aloof because of our difference. And sometimes we keep people aloof because, well, there's been areas that we've been hurt too. We've said this before, but hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And we, of necessity, need to come to the place where I believe, even in our flawed conditions, even in our growing, we're people that are in progress, that God is working in, that God is shaping us in. And He's shaping us so that we can be more and more like Christ Jesus, His Son. I believe because of our flaws in ourselves, we often have a hard time in honoring other people. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him." Wow, isn't that an awesome scripture? In Proverbs 21:21, "Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor." 1 Corinthians 11:29. Interesting verse. It talks about partaking of communion. "For if you eat the bread or the cup without honoring the body, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." That's the reason why we need to learn to be good forgivers and honor those that are around us. In doing so, you remember the Lord's body in that way. Proverbs 17:13 says, "If you repay good with evil, if you repay good with evil, it says evil will never leave your house." Is it worth it? No. Can you authentically thank God for the people that are in your life? It's so easy to take people for granted. It's so easy to complain and become angry because they do not meet our expectation or wish. But we need to give thanks for those around us, whether it's our spouse, our children, our relatives, our friends, and others who help us and aid us in some way. How many marriages and other relationships grow cold and eventually are shattered because of the sin of being ungrateful? Do you let others know that you appreciate them and are thankful for them? The Christians in Corinth were far from perfect. As a matter of fact, in Corinth, the Bible says that they did not lack in any of the gifts. So the gifts of God were flowing. But Paul the Apostle talked that these Corinthians were the worst in regards to the way that they got along. My goodness. They were acting like children. Paul began his first letter to these Corinthians. Okay, get this. They were flawed in a very big way. More so than a lot of some of the other churches. They brought some of their belief systems into the church and everything else. But yet they did not lack any of the gifts. Just because you are flowing in one of the gifts of the Spirit does not necessarily mean that you are spiritual. But here these people were. And Paul the Apostle begins his letter by saying to them, "I always thank God for you." How does he do that? Because he's able to see the work of God in them. Praise God. And he lifts them up. He's constantly encouraging them. Yes, they have to have, yes, they have to have some teaching and some correction. As a matter of fact, there are some serious corrective measures that are needed in that church. Yet he says, I always thank God for you. When a group of believers who Paul had never met come out to greet him as he approached Rome, in Acts 28:15, even the Bible says, even at the sight of these men, these were guys he had never met. These were guys he had never met. Yet Paul thanked God and was encouraged. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Now in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. You and I have known people that become new parents. You ever watch that parent around that newborn? Some of you grandparents, you've seen a few things too. You've had your kids. That new parent is so positive. Their baby is the cutest on the planet. Even that so-called ones in that. There are those that think that their little Johnny would rival George Clooney. He's the cutest. The thing is, parents give their baby the benefit of the doubt. Even the things that drive everyone else nuts, they find something to celebrate. Parents see an emerging personality when the rest just hear the screams and hollers. They see and reflect their affection toward that little one when the rest might see a toothless child gnawing on the table leg. Every giggle, every curve of their mouth, every grip of the finger, when we see squirming behaviors, they see Einstein in a diaper. Parents know something about their babies that some forget about ourselves. Parents are certain that their kids are a miracle. Parents see their baby with unlimited potential. I wonder what would happen if we saw others through those same eyeglasses. People with unlimited potential in Christ Jesus. We need to be enlightened, have our eyes opened up. We honor the Lord as we honor one another. When we honor God and others, we will see the King. The worship will be heard in ways that will astound us all. We will find ourselves in that same atmosphere that they saw, that we focused on a little bit at the beginning of the message. They threw their crowns. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. When our relationships are right and we are honoring God, we are honoring other people, worship and praise will come forth from our hearts in a whole full different manner. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I would like us to stand, if we will. Shannon's going to come and give you some instruction on those cards, but before we do that, just put everything down that you have in your hand and just stand with me for a moment. And I would like you to either lock arms or take somebody's hand or put your hand on their shoulder of the persons that are next to you. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe we could just, don't leave these guys out there on the back there. You guys need to Come, you know, at least put your hand on a shoulder. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. No, we don't want anybody left out. Glory to Jesus. Now, I'd like you to take a few moments and honor one another with prayer. Go ahead and pray for them that are next to you. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You are so good, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You are so good. You are so good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for taking this time to pray for one another. And I ask that this would just be just the start of a continual life of prayer to those that are next to you. Glory to God. I'm just going to ask this question. If you are here and you've never received the Lord as Savior and Lord, and you would like to find Christ as Savior today, I'm just going to ask you to leave your seat, come down and sit in the front row here. You've never received Christ as Savior, and you want to find Christ. You want to invite Him in your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You say, Pastor Ron, why are you doing this? Because receiving Christ as Savior is the basis on which we come together and fellowship. He pours in our life, and we pour out from our life. It's really hard to pour out from your life if you've never received Him in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you are here and you didn't really feel comfortable at sitting in the front place and you want to talk to me afterward, that's wonderful. Regardless, I'm after those that do not know Him as personal Lord and Savior, because that is the basis, like I said, that's the basis for our fellowship. Thank you, Lord. Shannon.
Just be seated for a moment. So I'd like you to take that little card, and I'd like you to just think for a moment and maybe ask the Lord just to show you someone in this room that you can say thank you to. Because the card says that we've been remembering them. We always think of them. I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, maybe you go from week to week, Sunday to Sunday, and you never think about anybody else. You know, you're just tied up in your own business, and, you know. But I think it's really important that we remember one another, that we think of one another, not just on Sunday, but all week long. And the Lord helps with that. He brings people to our mind. How many have ever had that happen? Yeah, all the time. You know, He brings someone to our mind and we say, okay, Lord, I pray for them today. I just bless them today. I thank you for them. And that happens a lot. But I'm going to challenge you today to go face to face with someone. And maybe you don't even know them very well. But it's like, I thank God for you. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes. Now, I don't want everyone to bring your cards up to Pastor Ron and I. And sometimes that's the inclination. We can thank the people who are visible up front all
that's
the time.
Way.
That's so easy.
Yeah.
Don't do that. We don't want to receive a card, okay, today. I want you to just take a moment and think about someone in this room that you can thank. And say, thank you, whatever it is. Maybe it's just, I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and I'm going to be praying for you. So what I want you to do is then take that card, and if you want to write something inside, you can write something specific that you want to thank God for. Otherwise, just pass it to them and say what you want to say. I know this is a stretch. This is something new. But we're just going to take a couple minutes. You think about that. If you need a pen, there's a couple pens on the table back there. And let's just thank God for each one. Just while you're thinking. I thank God for each one of you. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your generosity. I thank you for your love and your dedication for the Lord. I thank you for reaching out to your neighbors and your family and your friends.
Making yourself available for God to work through.
Making yourself available for God to flow through you. And today, as you're thinking about someone that you can bless, let's not be shy. Let's say it. Let's express it to one another. And not just today. You know, just put a hand on a shoulder. Say, brother, I thank you. I thank God for you. And I want to encourage you. And I want to bless you. And I want God to prosper you. It goes on and on and on. Once you start thanking God for one another and blessing one another, You just get more and more encouraged, and so.
Now here's the next task. Somebody's going to give you a card. Some of you may feel, man, I don't know. I feel awkward at this appreciation. You need to receive that appreciation because they're honoring you. But you don't necessarily have to keep that card for yourself. You can take that card that somebody gives you and you can pass it on to somebody else outside the congregation and see the blessing of God come to them. You're receiving it. When you've taken it, you've received it. But now what you are doing is you are giving it also away to somebody else outside ourselves. You will see the blessing of God because God is honored. Give freely, freely give. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments together. We bless your people in Jesus' name as they go out from here. Not just to bless one another, but to bless those that are in our community, those that are around them. I ask that your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness would be poured out upon them in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the things that will follow your word in Jesus' name, in demonstration and power and wisdom. We desire that you would be glorified and honored today. But not just today, when Monday comes, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It just whelms in us to have a heart of thanksgiving to you. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, we speak your blessing now. Amen.